We have been blessed this Lord's Day with an opportunity for us to assemble ourselves together, to sing praises unto God, and to join our hearts together in prayer to remember our Lord's suffering and death on the cross, and even to join our efforts together in taking up a collection. All of these items of worship God has given us for our good. If you'll come back at 3 o'clock this afternoon, I want to talk about the subject of edification. And that's what we're trying to accomplish right now at this very hour. But if you'll come back this afternoon in our worship, we're going to study that subject and see what edification is, just exactly how it is that edification is brought about, and also consider some things that will hinder edification from taking place. So I encourage you to come back and be with us. This morning, I want to continue with the subject that was started in our Bible class hour, talking about walking hand in hand with God through daily Bible study. In the auditorium class, and I appreciate so much Brother Hobart teaching that class, he placed the emphasis on Bible study. And a very good class, very good study for us, considering how we need to approach the Word of God in the best way possible to properly understand it. What I want to do with this hour is I want to focus on the idea of walking hand in hand with God. Walking with the Lord. Open your Bible to Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, this passage, this entire chapter, is known to us sometimes as Faith's Hall of Fame. Faith's Hall of Fame. It contains the names of men and women who are championed because of their great faith, and they're given to us as examples and encouragement for us to follow them. Many of the names in this chapter are well known. We have Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Moses and David. But there's a name that appears early on in the chapter, almost in passing, that should be of considerable importance to us. And that is Enoch. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 says, "By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God." This verse tells us that, like Elijah, Enoch did not have to experience physical death. What a great blessing that would have been, that he did not have to undergo that. And the only reason that the Hebrew writer gives for this great privilege is that Enoch pleased God. How is it that Enoch pleased God? Well, it must have had something to do with his faith, because here it is found in this chapter about faith. But you know what's interesting is the only record that we have of the life of Enoch are four verses in Genesis chapter 5. But it's here in this passage we're going to get the answer. If we have an answer, it's going to be found in this passage. How is it that Enoch pleased God? We read the text from Genesis 5. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. This brief account of Enoch's life sheds some light on the answer to our question. Twice in these verses, the writer emphasizes the fact that Enoch walked with God. And before we begin to think, well, this must have been a common statement, there are a lot of people that walked with God. You know, this is only said of one other person, and it's Noah. Enoch and Noah, the only two that specifically are referred to in the Bible as walking with God. Enoch was found pleasing to God because Enoch walked with God. It sounds simple, but yet it's very profound, isn't it? This is what got Enoch in Hebrews chapter 11. He didn't build an ark. He didn't move his entire family like Abraham did. He didn't leave the palace of Egypt and come back and lead God's children to the promised land like Moses. He simply walked with God. Very simple, but yet very profound. And it's something that you and I need to pay attention to and need to learn from. Why is this important? To walk with God implies a close fellowship with God. It implies communion with God. It has to do with our relationship with God. Now, anyone can claim to be a Christian, and many people do, some of which have never come close to obeying the gospel and putting on Christ in baptism. Some do that and live the rest of their lives claiming to be Christians, and yet they can never say, like was said of Enoch, that they have learned how to walk with God. Listen to me. There is more to being a Christian than becoming a Christian. And get your mind wrapped around that. There is more to being a Christian than just becoming a Christian. That's where it starts. But we have to build on that. We have to learn how to walk with God. We have the hope that we're going to spend eternity in heaven with God. That's the most important thing that we can accomplish in our lives, is to secure an eternal resting place for our soul. But while we are here anticipating and looking forward to being with God, shouldn't we begin to develop that relationship now, here and now? Shouldn't we learn like Enoch? Shouldn't we learn how to walk with God? I want to talk about that. I want us to consider some things that are necessary if you and I are going to be like Enoch and we're going to learn how to walk with God. Four things that I want us to consider. I'm sure other things could be added to this list, but I want us to just look at four things that are essential if we are going to walk with God. And it starts with our faith. We cannot walk with God if we do not believe that God exists. If we do not have the confident assurance that there is a God, that He does exist. Just the next verse in Hebrews 11, verse 5 talks about Enoch. Now verse 6 is familiar to many of us. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We must believe that God exists before we're even able to have a relationship with God, to come to Him. This is where a relationship with God has to begin. If you back up before Hebrews chapter 11, at the end of verse 10, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 38 and 39, now the just shall live by faith. See, if we're going to walk with God, we have to live by faith. That has to be what guides us in our life, what directs us in our life. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. And then it enters into chapter 11, talking about faith, what faith is, why it's important, and all the examples of the men and women, including Enoch, who walked with God. We must believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is real. There can be no room for doubt in our relationship with God if we're going to walk with God. Now, there's nothing wrong with honest skepticism. And I want us to see a difference between the two. Honest skepticism, that is when we have questions, but we're honest when we search for and find the answers. Honest skepticism is good because it's going to increase our faith. But doubt will kill our faith. Doubt will destroy our faith. Is God really there? Does God really hear me? Does God really care? You see, faith is more than just believing in God. Look at this passage again that we have before us. Faith is a combination of belief and trust. We must believe that God is, and we must believe that He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We've got to have trust that God is going to do what He says. To walk with God, we must trust God. We must believe everything that God has said and everything that He has promised is true.
We have to have that faith. Now, while faith is important, it's essential, it is the first step. Unfortunately, there are some who never get beyond it. There are many people who are told that faith only, that's all you need. You just have to believe. And so there's no incentive, there's no desire to look any further at what the Bible has to say on this subject of developing our relationship with God and walking with God, as Brother Hobart brought out so well in our class just this last hour. What else does the Bible say? What else must we do if we are going to walk with God? Secondly, the Scriptures teach that we must obey God. Our belief in God must be expressed in obedience. In James chapter 1, verses 21 and 22, "Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." It's important for us to believe in God, and it's important for us to receive His Word. But notice James makes it clear that we have to receive it with a mind and a desire to do it. Because just believing and just hearing is not enough. That's not going to save our souls. We have to be doers of the Word in order for our souls to be saved by God, in order for us to be walking with God. James chapter 2. Verses 14 through 26 teaches us the importance of faith and works of obedience. That our faith has to be expressed in obedience in order for it to be pleasing unto God, in order for it to be alive, in order for it to save us. I want to read these verses. Won't have much of a comment to make about them, but I want to read this passage in its entirety. And think about the relationship, the connection between faith and our works of obedience, our willingness to express that faith by obeying what God tells us to do. "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the Scripture was fulfilled which says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God.' You see then that man is justified by works, and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And a dead faith cannot walk with anyone, including God, especially God. If we're going to walk with God, we must express our faith in obedience. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus tells us of some unfortunate souls who are misguided and who believe that they are right with God when in fact they are not. And it's been their lack of obedience that has kept them from being recognized by the Lord as His people. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" See, these people were sincere. They were well-meaning, but they were self-willed, and they were presumptuous. They took it upon themselves to do things in the name of the Lord that the Lord had never told them to do. never given them the right to do, never commanded them to do. He doesn't recognize them. Those who enter into the kingdom of heaven are those who do the will of the Father in heaven. We cannot walk with God here if we are not obeying His word. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 32 and 33, I believe this is one of the verses that we looked at in Bible class this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 32 and 33. Therefore you shall be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. Walking with God. That's what we're talking about. That's what Enoch did. How do we walk with God today? We walk in His Word. And God says, if you're going to walk with Me, you don't go off the path to the right hand or to the left. If you're going to walk with Me, you're going to stay with Me in My Word. So if we're going to walk with God, we have to believe in Him, but we also have to obey, and we have to follow His Word and not depart from it. That's what it takes to walk with God. But also, if we're going to walk with God, we have to agree with God. Amos asked the question in Amos chapter 3, verse 3, can two walk together unless they are agreed? To ask the question is answer it. Of course they can't. Two cannot walk together unless there is an agreement between the two. That's implied with walking hand in hand with God. Again, that there is that agreement between the two. But let me tell you how this agreement has to come about. It doesn't come about the way I hear so many people today saying, in essence, God agrees with me. Don't you think that's the way some people are trying to walk hand in hand with God? They believe that God agrees with them. They've got it figured out. They've got it right. And God is in agreement with them. That's not the way it works at all. To be in agreement with God means that we agree that God is right. God is right about everything that He has said. In Psalm 119, in verse 128, Psalm 119, in verse 128, therefore, all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right. Therefore, I hate every false way. Did you get that? How inclusive that is. All your precepts concerning all things, every one of them is right. And until we come to a place in our heart, in our lives, in which we're willing to say God is right about everything that He says, there can be no agreement with God. We can't walk hand in hand with God. Now, do you and I believe that everything that God has said is right? You know, as you talk with people, you soon discover that no, they don't. They don't agree with everything that God has said. What about the subject of divorce and remarriage? Well, according to God, marriage is for one man, for one woman, for life. And that there is to be no divorce and remarriage unless there is marital unfaithfulness. And the innocent can put away the guilty spouse and remarry without sin before the eyes of God. Matthew chapter 19 teaches that. That's not what's taught and that's not what's practiced by a lot of people today, many of whom would call themselves Christians. They're not in agreement with God on that matter, are they? How about baptism? That baptism, God says that baptism is the immersion of penitent believers in water for the forgiveness of sins. There are a lot of people who would call themselves Christians. They don't teach that. They're not in agreement with God. What about the one true church? No, join the church of your choice. In the Bible, we read of the church. The Lord says, my church. There's not agreement with God on that matter. How about the way we are to worship? Many like to use instrumental music. What difference does it make? The Scriptures teach in the New Testament in the church we are to sing. Specifying singing. Are we in agreement with God? Many people aren't. What about the principles that are set forth in the Word of God that we need to apply to different areas of our lives? Principles like honesty. Principles like chastity and purity, modesty, godliness, and sobriety. And yet, despite the fact that these principles are taught and we read of men and women in the Bible who follow them and who don't, and what happens to them as a result, people today who call themselves Christians who believe in God will commit fornication, will go to dances, will dress in such a way that you see more of their flesh than what is concealed and covered up, will gamble, will lie, will cheat. Yet, you say, well, what does the Bible say? I know what the Bible says, but you're not in agreement with God. When you're saying, I know what the Bible says, but I know what God says, but I don't agree with Him on this matter, you're not walking with God. Because can two walk together unless they're agreed? And the answer is no. See, that's the approach we have to take to Scripture. Is that God is right. And whatever He has said in His Word, that is right. And if I'm going to walk with Him, I've got to walk with Him in His Word. So how do I walk with God today? I have to agree with God. God is right about all things. And then finally, I want us to consider this point. It might go unnoticed or unmentioned, but I believe it is very important. And that is loyalty to God. If we're going to walk with God, that means that we stick with God. We stay with Him. We don't leave. In the book of 2 Kings chapter 20, the prophet Isaiah is told to go to King Hezekiah and tell him to get his house in order because he is going to die. He is not going to live. 2 Kings at chapter 20 and at verse 1, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Verse 2, then he turned his face toward the wall. This is the king. He turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart and have done what was good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And before he even got off the palace ground, God came to Isaiah and told him, go back, and tell Hezekiah his life has been extended. What was it that Hezekiah did? Well, he humbled himself and he prayed, he mourned, but he also reminded God of the fact that he had been loyal to Him. He had been faithful to Him. He had been obedient to Him. I believe that's important. It was important enough that God took notice of it and God spared his life when he mentioned it. Loyalty to God can be shown in different ways. It needs to be shown in these different ways. Now, of course, this list could be expanded, but I want to look at three things. Three ways in which our loyalty to God is shown. First is our love for God. Our loyalty to God is shown in our love for God. In Deuteronomy chapter 13 and verse 4, Deuteronomy chapter 13 and verse 4 says, you shall walk after the Lord your God. And that's what we're talking about, isn't it? Walking with God. You shall do it. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear Him. We've been talking about that through this year. To fear God, to have reverence and respect for God, and keep His commandments and obey His voice. You shall serve Him and hold fast to Him. I like that last phrase. Everything in this verse is important. Matter of fact, this verse is a good sermon outline. That would go along with our study of what all's necessary, what all's needed. But I like that last statement. You shall cling to Him. You shall hold fast to Him. In Deuteronomy chapter 30 in verse 20, Deuteronomy chapter 30, and at verse 20, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey His voice, and that you may cling to Him, for He is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Notice both these verses. You hold fast to Him. You cling to Him like a young child would to his father or his mother. You cling. You hold on to Him. That's what we have to do if we're going to walk with God. We don't keep God at a distance. We don't keep God at arm's length in our life. And we don't divide up our life into different sections and allow God access to just a few of them. No, we embrace God. We cling to Him. We hold on to Him. We allow Him into every part of our life, and we don't ever let go. In Matthew chapter 22, Jesus is asked the question, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus, instead of going and choosing one of the Ten Commandments, says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. This coming from Deuteronomy chapter 6. It's the verse that the same book we looked at, these first two passages, to hold to Him, to cling to Him, to love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, as the Lord says in Mark's account. We are to give God our heartfelt service and praise. We are to love God with all of our heart. But also, our loyalty to God is shown in our singleness and purpose in our service unto Him. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. We must serve God and we must be loyal in our service unto God. We can't divide our life up. Again, this much is God's and I'll give God this, and the rest of it I'm going to keep for myself, and I'm going to live however I want to live. No. Those who call themselves Christians, who involve themselves in things that are contrary to God's will, are not walking with God. They're not being loyal in their service unto God. Is that you and me? We need to examine ourselves and make sure that it is not. We need to make sure that we're not busying ourselves with so many things that we have no time for God. God has to come first in our service. And to be loyal to God, we must love Him, we must serve Him, and when need be, we must defend Him. Paul says in Philippians 1 and verse 17 that he's been appointed for the defense of the gospel. And this defense was displayed several times in his life when he showed his loyalty unto God. In Galatians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, Paul talks about a time that he and Titus were confronted by Judaizers who would have Titus to have been circumcised and keep the law of Moses. It says, and this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they may bring us into bondage, to whom we did not yield submission even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Paul was not willing to yield. He was not willing to budge one bit when people came in and tried to teach and enforce error. He came to the defense of the gospel. We have to be ready and willing to do so as well. If we're going to walk with God, we must be willing to defend the gospel, to stand on the Lord's side, to defend the truth, to maintain the purity of God's Word and of His church in the name of His Son. Our loyalty must be to God and not to man. Becoming a Christian is the greatest decision that anyone can make. But as we said in the beginning, there's more to being a Christian than becoming a Christian. We must grow closer to God. God has something much more special, much deeper, much more meaningful in mind for those who would come to His Son than just wearing the name Christian. God has made a way for us to spend eternity with Him. That's what we were created for. You read Genesis chapters 1 and 2. That's what you're created for. Eternal fellowship with God. And God has made a way for sin to be removed and the curse of sin to be removed, and one day we'll be with Him for eternity. But we shouldn't wait until then to start trying to live in God's presence, to start trying to walk with God. We need to do that now. We need to learn how to walk hand in hand with God. The Bible says that Enoch pleased God because he walked with God. Can the same thing be said of you and me today? Do we believe and trust God? Do we obey Him? Do we agree with Him? Are we loyal to Him? We need to answer these questions. You know what's interesting about these items that we've looked at? You notice how each one requires a little bit more of us than the previous one? We have to agree, that is, we have to believe in God and trust God, but then we have to take that further. We have to obey God. We have to take that further. We have to agree that God is right. We have to be willing to yield and allow God to have His way with everything. And then, to take it even further, we give our all to God. We're loyal to Him. We walk with Him step in step through this life. Yes, it requires a lot, but I'll tell you that it's worth it. Not only when we get to the end, but as we're living and walking today, it's worth it. If you're not walking with God, you need to do so. You need to start today. As an erring Christian, or as a Christian that's never really gotten your faith any further than the baptistry, why don't you repent? Why don't you take to heart the things that we've studied today? Why don't you start walking with God? If you've never obeyed the gospel, you need to do so. You need to repent of your sins, confess your faith. You need to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Whatever your will or whatever your need is, would you trust and obey God this morning? Come as we stand and sing this song.